I want to wrap that up. I want to remind you of a couple of them. Remember Candyland? We talked about that. The world of sweets. You got that picture up there? Is all of it working? Maybe it quit working. First service, we had a time with our multimedia, but we're making it. You got that Candyland picture? Oh, she's getting there. There it is. The world of sweets. Remember we kind of started there? The world has all this stuff to offer, but unfortunately, we have to be careful not to be enticed by the world and what it offers. It looks like a candy land. The other day I was going down, I was near a harbor, and I just looked out and I looked at all these, I want to call them boats, ships. I don't want to miscall them what they are, but all these boats and ships that, and I'm like, man, look at that, the pleasure you can have on that if you like water. Now, if you're like me, you get me on water and I do this, my stomach really does this, and we don't go together. But all the things this world has to offer, but we need to be careful that we don't get enticed by it. Another game we talked about is Sorry. Remember that? The game of sweet revenge. That's a game that the world, oh, I'm sorry it happened to you. We need to be careful, though, that we don't live in a sorry mode, but a sorrowful mode and forgiveness. And there's a big difference in being sorry and being sorrowful. And I think we ought to realize when we injure people or hurt people, I don't need to get revenge for what people have done. They need forgiveness. They need to know what God can do. So we talked about forgiveness when we went through the game Sorrow. Set is a game. It's a card game. Not a lot of people play it, but it's a game of visual perception. Also, apples to apples. I linked the two together. The game of crazy comparisons. What I wanted to talk to you about in that was just that our perception sometimes out there, or we compare ourselves to see whether who's best. I want to encourage you to be careful not to look at even someone whose life is more spiritual, that we don't waste time trying to compare ourselves to each other. Because when we do that, the Bible tells us not to do that, but we always come out in last place when we try to compare to somebody else. And so the apples to apples was also with that, and a lot of people have played apples to apples. How about the game Trouble? I talked about trouble in the bubble. In our world, we're going to have trouble, but Jesus said to be of good cheer. Be happy. He said, I've overcome the world. And so we need to walk with though we know there's going to be trials and tribulations and tough times, listen, I know what's going to happen here, but I want you to walk with cheer because God is for us. We talked about Uno, that God needs to be number one in our life. He has to be the pinnacle. He has to be the first. Also, Monopoly was another one we talked about. Here and now. God needs to monopolize my life now, right? Wherever I am. God needs the monopoly on every property of my life. I don't need to take them and think that I can do something great, but if I give him everything, that everywhere I go, guess who owns it? God does. So I can stay there because every part of my life, God owns it. We talked about risk. We had a missionary that week, and I was talking to you that are we willing to take the risk for those who are at risk? There are people right now whose eternity is at risk, and we need to step up, church. And I don't know what that may cost us, but I'm willing to take the risk because this life is short compared to eternity. And I don't want people to spend eternity without God. So I'm willing to take the risk. Today, I'm going to cover several games, in fact, about six games. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each one, but I think we can learn a principle from each one quickly. How many remember Chutes and Ladders? Ever play Chutes and Ladders? Did you play it as a kid or did you play it with your kids? Both, right? This game's been around a long time. It's interesting, the byline on this one is, if you can see, it's the classic up and down game for preschoolers. So once you're out of preschool, you'll never have an up and a down again. Nah, I think they missed that part. The ups and downs of life are challenging. I want to kind of connect that one also to another game that we play. How many have ever played Twister? The game that ties you up in knots. Y'all really played this. Listen, I tried it only a couple of times, one time with my kids, and I don't know that I liked the game personally. In fact, after about 3 minutes into it, by the time you're on your arms and legs, and I'm tired. I'm like, game needs to be over. You know, you're shaking. And that's why I think it says on here, kids. It's for kids. It's right there. I should have read that. Kids. The game that ties you up in knots. The problem is in life, twists come that ties us up in knots. Things happen in life that we never plan for, we never expect to happen. And all of a sudden, it's a twist. And the problem is, it's like chutes and ladders. It's the same problem. If you notice that you have to have a ladder to climb up, know that. The problem is, when you roll and you hit on the wrong spot, what happens? Right back down, starting all over. The problem with life is that we struggle with it because we work so hard to get somewhere, and sometimes spiritually we spend a lot of effort, and all of a sudden we land on some spot in our life and we slide back. And we go, oh, I hate this. So it happens spiritually as well as just practically in our lives at times. Church, I want to kind of lay a foundation, though, for us this morning with a couple of scriptures that will help us to understand. Isaiah writes a scripture for us so we can be careful how we live in these moments. So listen to it in Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. Now, I think this is a great scripture that probably could have stopped right there if we had great understanding. But the problem is we don't have great understanding. In fact, I love the scripture in Proverbs that says, with great patience comes great understanding. And I think our problem is that we don't have understanding, so we're not patient, and therefore I fear instead of fear not. Listen to what Isaiah writes. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Church, when the Bible says, interesting enough, it tells me that God is with me. Is the Bible true or not? So when this scripture says, fear not, there's nothing to fear. How many of you can believe that? Well, I want to take you to the level that you can begin to believe it because the Bible says it. For I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed. All of a sudden, when twists come your way or when you don't feel like you're where you need to be, don't fear. Don't fall into that trap. Don't forget that God has said, I am with you always. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If God said it, He is faithful to do it. But we doubt His word. We cannot doubt His word. We need to fear not. He says He'll retain us. He'll hold on to us. He'll give us strength in the difficulties. Listen to what the psalmist wrote in 71, verses 4 to 6. My God, free me from the grip of wicked, from the clutch of bad and bully. Everybody ever been bullied and been in bad places and seen the wicked? He's saying, God, free me from that. You keep me going when times are tough. My bedrock, God, since my childhood, I've hung on to you from the day of my birth, the day you took me from the cradle. I'll never run out of praise. Church, I was reflecting this morning in first service in regards to my upbringing. My mom and dad took me to church, and I grew up in Pleasant Valley Assembly of God in Mobile, Alabama. And they would take me, and that was a church. I was recollecting some things, but I remember we used to do foot washings in the basement. Now, I don't know why we always had to do it in the basement, but that's where you had to do it. But we would go down to the basement, and they'd do foot washings. Anybody grow up in a church where they did foot washings? Anybody? A few? Yeah. It's a really humbling experience. I also remember, though, and this is, you have to remember, this is age 7 and under. But I remember Sunday nights being at that altar, and I remember it being up to even 10 o'clock at night with my mom and with my dad praying at the altar. I remember that as a child. And I believe those foundational years for me have allowed me to be able to walk with God and know that He's true and faithful. But it's not just that. It doesn't matter if I was 7 or 70. Church, whenever you come to know the Lord in our life, we never need to run out of praise. The reason we run out of praise is because we forget that He's for us. We forget that, oh, I got a ladder I got to climb again, or I hit a chute, and it's like, where was He? He is gone before us. He is making the way for us. And it doesn't matter what happens in the difficulties of life. I stand on the assurance that God will free me. God is for me, and He's watching over me. I believe it. I have to stand on that. So I don't give in to the pressure. And church, could I encourage you to always, always let your praise go to Him, even in the bad times. You praise Him at all times, the Bible says. There's another game the world plays, and we need to be careful about it. When I first picked it up, I thought it says secrets and lies. I thought, man, I could preach that. Secrets and spies. Clue is an interesting game because really you only can win the game. You don't lose the game. And even when it was your character who did the murdering, you don't go, yeah, it was me. And when you're the one who dies, you don't go, oh, well. It's just about who kind of figures it out. It isn't about losing. It's really about winning. Some of the other games are about losing. You know what I'm talking about. This was just winning, trying to get the clues and figure out who committed the murder. Our game is not about murder at all. But the problem is, how do you get the clues? What is the clue that we need in our life? In the game of Clue here, it's really kind of the blame game, trying to say it was in that room, that person, with that, and you're trying to figure it all out. And we're quick, church, to begin to blame others in our life for stuff that happens. Well, if they wouldn't have done that, if we begin to try to put our own pieces together, and the problem is we don't have enough clues, and we become clueless. In fact, Job is a great man who God was trying to give him clues all through his life, if you recall, because bad things were happening. It's like, why is this happening? Listen to one of the scriptures in Job 28, 12 and 13. But where, oh, where will they find wisdom? Where does insight hide? Mortals don't have a clue, haven't the slightest idea where to look. In fact, if you keep reading through this passage, the next passage is about the earth. The earth is asked, do you know about wisdom? And the earth says, I don't know anything. I think it's very interesting that all of our scientists and all these archaeologists and everybody try to look at the earth and try to figure it all out by the earth. And the earth says, I don't know. Oh, well, you must be billions of years old because the earth says it is. And the earth goes, I don't know. And we fashioned everything. And God says, wait a minute, I'm going to wipe out the earth. The earth knows nothing. But there are some people that are precious on the earth that I care about. And I want them to get a clue to who I am. They need wisdom. Church, we need wisdom as we walk. Wisdom as we go. Proverbs 4, 5 says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. We need wisdom. Proverbs 2, 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. And from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And then in the New Testament, I like it because James helps us. In James 1, 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. So who gives wisdom? God does. And listen to what He does. Who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to him. Church, God doesn't look at you and say, well, because you got that in your life, I don't know if you can handle wisdom. God will give it without finding fault to anyone who will ask. God wants you to get a clue how to live in this life. God wants you to know and have wisdom of how to walk, how to raise children. This morning I was, Pastor Matt, I'll pick on you. All I can tell you is good luck when your kids turn teenagers. I'm sorry. I'll try to write the book between now and then. It will be obsolete by that time, though. In raising children, I don't have a clue. I need wisdom from the Lord. The other day, Addison's not in here, so I can say this. The other day, I have a 20-year-old boy and this 9-year-old boy, and I'm at that age of life that all of a sudden, I was kind of talking to some of the kids about it, and I'm like, I've gotten easier. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not near as tough as I used to be. Why? Because I've gotten tired. Let's just call it what it is. I'm like, you want to do that? Go ahead, run across the street. Why do we need to buy Frogger? They use the interstate. Try it. Children, do not try any of that. All right. But the problem is I need wisdom today, and the Holy Spirit just kind of began to speak to me because I need to be careful that I don't get too easy. I might have been too tough at the beginning because I'm learning, I'm trying, but in the mastering of this, I need wisdom. And also, Drew and Addison are not the same persons, and how I handle them and what I deal with. And so, church, I need this wisdom that God will give me and work through me. We need to get a clue, though, that I'm responsible for my own life. Sweetheart, I love you, but spiritually, other than leadership and giving you direction, I cannot save you. I cannot do anything for you. I'll give leadership to my home, sweetheart. I'll try to represent Christ the best I can, but you have to make that decision. You're responsible to get the wisdom yourself. And church, I don't carry that. I carry it for me. Though I feel like for a church, I want to be wise. I want to live above reproach. I want to represent Christ well. And I will work hard at that. But church, I'm telling you, you need to get the wisdom. You need to ask for it. It's for you. There's another game. I hate this game personally. Trivial Pursuit. I don't care what version you play of it, even Bible trivia. I'm like, I don't know. I sure don't want to play it with kids. But you know, how many love this game, though? There are people that, like, you got knowledge, and I'm like, good for you. Now, I kind of like this. I might like this game because this is Trivial Pursuit team. So everybody who raised your hand, you're on my team, all right? How many of you knew in the Bible, trivia-wise, that there was a man who was declothed? He was naked in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at there. Just a few people, and the rest of you go, what? The problem is, it's just trivia. I have no idea what that story in the Bible has to do with my personal life other than I need to wear clothes. And I think what he meant was we need to wear more than just one piece of clothing. Because this young man, it seeming to be Mark, when they were arresting Jesus, he was fleeing, and a bush caught his cloak, and he kept running, and the bush kept his clothes. So wear two pieces of clothing, at least. That's what I get out of it. How many of you know that one of the men crucified with Christ was the father of Paul the Apostle? You knew that? The Bible says, Paul writes, it says, my old man was crucified with Christ. Just a tidbit of information and trivia for you. Honestly, y'all guys know that was a joke, okay? Don't go out of here my pastor's got insight like nobody else. It's a joke. It's a joke. The problem is we have all this trivial stuff in our life. And if we're not careful, we can begin to pursue things that are just trivial. And the Bible says, though, there are some things we need to pursue in our life. I don't want to just know knowledge. I want to know the one who knows the knowledge. In fact, listen to a couple of passages in Proverbs 15:9. That says, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Now, this is a scary verse for a lot of people because righteousness sounds so big and heavy. But righteousness is nothing more than doing the right thing. Did you know today you pursued the right thing? You got up out of bed, you came to church, because the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So today you chose and did the right thing. You are pursuing right doing. Yay to you. But that's the beginning of it. We got to pursue it. We got to say, God, how do I do the right thing? Because I want to make sure that the things I'm doing are not just trivial. I don't want them to just be little things that don't mean a whole lot. I want to do the right things. In 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul is writing to this young pastor who in turn would share this with the church. And so today it's been preserved so that you can hear it in your hearing from the heart of God, where it says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. That's why we've gathered together. That's why we enjoy each other. That's why we can fellowship together. Because we enjoy the companionship, because with a pure heart we're trying to find God. But in that process, I'm pursuing right doing. I'm pursuing faithfulness. I'm pursuing love and peace. I'll help you with something that I do periodically. I don't do it all the time, but every once in a while I take the nine fruits of the Spirit. And I'll pick one of them and I'll work on it for the week. You know what? I'm gonna be kind this week. Well, you know what? It's a fruit of the Spirit. I want to make sure I'm being kind. And just work on kindness all week long. Pursue it. How about gentleness or self-control or faithfulness or meekness or love? How about patience? Everybody can work on that one every week. But sometimes we just kind of let life happen instead of pursuing it. There's a big difference in being drawn along and pursuing something. I want to pursue it. I want to go after it. I want God to be number one in my life. The bottom line to it all really is that we need to sort it out. It's kind of a new game. Anybody ever played this game? Anybody ever heard of it? That's why it's still on the shelf. Here's how it plays a little bit. Let me sort these things by length. Okay? An average female sea lion, an anaconda, a giant salamander, a yardstick, and a bootlace worm. Which one's the longest? Which one? The worm? The worm is the longest one. Over 30 meters long. I would not be good at this game. And the same struggles happens in my life, too. Because sometimes I get all these different things. It's like, how do I juggle them? And how do I sort them out? Which one's the most important? Which one's the longest? Which is the best? Church, the bottom line is we somehow have got to sort these things out. Because in this world, we tend to get things out of order. We tend to do it in our lives. So we got to set things in proper order. One of the scriptures I want to read to you is, let me back up, make sure I'm there. Yep, Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38. This is Jesus, and he's the greatest commandment. But I want you to hear it out of the message today, because sometimes our hearing gets a little dull when we hear it the same way over and over. So let you hear it a little bit different. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. Remember, well, your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. This is the most important, the first on any list. If you're going to sort it all out, if you're going to get things in the right order, Jesus says, listen, first of all, the greatest commandment, the greatest thing you can do, number one, uno. In fact, it's the same thing God set up in the very beginning when he said, here's the Ten Commandments. Put the Lord your God first in your life. And then he said, there's second, it's like it unto him, but it's second. Your love then is expressed to others. But if we don't learn how to put God first in our life, this expression of love out here, because love comes from him. And I got to sort it out in my life to know that he really is first. The psalmist in verse 5 of chapter 16, or Psalm 16 says, my choice is you, God, first and only. I like that. But listen to what else he writes. And now I find out I'm your choice. Our choice ought to be God. Why? Because he chose us. God put you of utmost importance when he sorted it all out. He said, I made it all, but I breathed into man, and I have purpose for man. In fact, I knew it before the foundations of the earth. I had it all sorted out. In fact, I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to lock Satan up for 1,000 years. He's going to be released, and he's going to deceive again whoever he can. But I tell you what, then I'm going to bind him and every evil thing for eternity into the lake of fire forever. God's already sorted it all out because he chose you, and he wants you to be a part. Our choice should be God. Listen to 1 John 4:19. We love him because he what? First loved us. He put us first on the list. I think I ought to put God first on the list. And then to wrap it all up, what better game than the game of life? I got to play this with my kids yesterday. We didn't play this particular version. We played the Pirates of the Caribbean version. And I won. I was Jack Sparrow. The game of life. The problem with this, the game is interesting. I don't know, maybe we should have tried this first, sweetheart, but you just draw a card to get children. That didn't work for us that way. But you just kind of play the game, and things happen to you, and you have to give up money, you get money, you do this, you do that, and you get children along the way, and you have to pay income tax, and you have to do all this stuff. It's a game of life. It's kind of very interesting, kind of somewhat designed after our lives, but much simpler than what it's really like. You know, you live it. Some of you, you've got it ahead of you. But I think we have to understand, if we're going to do this game of life, we have to really understand what life is. How many remember the story about Lazarus? It was a friend of Jesus, and he died. And he was in the grave for 4 days. Remember the story? And they sent word to Jesus, said, Jesus, would you come? He's sick. And I really don't know the delay of time, but they sent word. And by the time he actually showed up, he'd been in the grave for 4 days. Martha was a little upset with Jesus. In fact, Jesus arrives and she goes, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But you weren't here, he's dead. And Jesus, that you need to know, can handle you getting upset. The key is to talk to him about it. Because when you do, he'll answer you. I want you to hear his answer to Martha. And it's so tender. It's so well done that he tries to bring principle to it first before he deals with Lazarus. Lazarus' death was not a problem. And here's why. Jesus told her in John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. John 11:25. He's the resurrection. Jesus is saying, Martha, you got to understand this principle first, that I'm life. Even Satan didn't understand that when he tried to take out Jesus' life. Satan does not have the Holy Spirit. Satan does not have understanding of Scripture. He'll quote it. He'll use it against you. He'll misquote it. But the reason he misquotes it so well, because he's the father of lies, is because he doesn't have understanding. If he would have understanding, he would have never killed Jesus. He didn't get a clue. Because Jesus was life, and you cannot kill life. All he did was take out a mortal body. But Jesus said after that, he descended into the lower regions of the earth, and those who were in captivity, he led them out of captivity, and then he came back to life in 3 days. Because he was resurrection and life. And he's telling Martha, Martha, and then he goes over to the grave in a few moments and says, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, this man wrapped in grave's clothes walks out of the tomb. Because when you meet life, death has no power over life. In this world, you need to know what life really is. In fact, Jesus was teaching his disciples and talking to them in John 14:6. Jesus answered. He said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. I'm it, guys. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's life. He's the one we need to know. Just a few chapters more. John 17:3. They're talking about Christ. It says, now this is eternal life, John writes, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. It's life through Jesus. Paul writes it in Romans 6:23, one we're very familiar with. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, what? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Church, I want you to know life. I don't want you to be in this world and just play a game. I want you to know life. I want you to find Jesus. He is the foundation that you need to build on. You cannot win anything without him. He is your victory. The first thing, though, you've got to do is sort it out and make sure he's first. Is God really first in your life? Do you really believe his word? What have you been pursuing in your life? Is it just the trivial things? I just want to get through. I want to have a house. I want to have a car. I want to be able to work. I want my kids. I want this. I want that. No, I want to pursue right things. I want to make sure I'm moving along because I've got a clue that the wisdom I need comes from him. That I want to get caught up in secrets here and lies that people want to create. I want to live in life because I know the world's going to throw a twist at me. And I know I'll get knots at times. But I know that God is for me. And I know I got to climb back up the ladder. And I'll keep walking through life, trying not to land on the chutes that kind of pull me back sometimes. But isn't it interesting in the game? It's still to get to the end, and you do. You would think with all the chutes, I'd never get there. But church, we've been called to something larger. The reason I use object lessons is to help us, because anytime you play these games again, hopefully you'll think, you know what? I'm going to play the game, I'm going to enjoy it, but I'm going to be careful I don't get caught up in the world and allow the twist to mess me up. Anytime you play any of these, I want you to recognize that God wants to speak to us in the midst of our life, and he wants to give you life. Church, God is for us, and God is able, as the song said. Pastor Matt, you can come. Church, I want you to know life first and foremost. You need to know he cares. This whole message, I was talking to a couple of my other girls the other day in the car. If you remember, Andrea, we were like, how does someone who didn't grow up with all this Christianity, how do they really ever believe any of this? Why would I ever believe there was a Jesus? Why would I ever believe there was a God? In church, I have to, at some point, it's all by faith. And God's real. And amazing, God said, I wrote my laws upon your heart. And it's amazing to me, people know right from wrong. They do. People know they feel guilty and they feel sad and they don't know what to do about it. But God said, I know what to do about it. I'll send my son. And it's by faith I believe in what Christ did for me. Other than that, I can begin to talk to you about the historical value of the Bible. Of all the books written, this one has so many more manuscripts that are faithful to each other. There's nothing like the Holy Word of God. And we put a lot of confidence in books that have like two manuscripts from old. And they say, oh yeah, that really, really happened. And people begin to doubt the Word of God that has thousands of manuscripts supporting it. Church, you just go and examine the evidence. I'm telling you, God is real. And I would believe you think that because you showed up today. But if you don't, or you're worried, or you're doubtful that He's real, why don't you experience Him and say, God, You're life, and You're the one I'm going to pursue. You're the one I'm going to go after. If you do know Him, hey, church, let's begin to pursue righteousness. See, I have to release you every Sunday, and I can't go home with you. I can't walk into your home and help you clean out your closets. But the Holy Spirit will go with you. The Word of God goes with you. And He'll lead you, and He'll guide you into righteousness if you listen. Because church, I know He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's why I want to grow us. I don't want to just do church week after week. I don't want to just come and have a social gathering that says, hey, we're good moral people. No. I'm trying to find God. I'm trying to grow in God. I'm trying to help others walk that path. Not perfect at it, but I'm not about to give up on it. I'm going to sort it out. I'm going to get wisdom. I'm going to live my life for Him. Because He's life. Amen. Lord, I just pray for us today before I release us. And God, we need Your help to live for You. And Lord, all these games that the world plays, they don't understand. They're searching, longing for something to entertain them, to find life. But Lord, You're it. So Lord, I pray that we would acknowledge that today and quit walking in fear. And Lord, believe that You are able. That You have gone before us and that, Lord, Your Word will guide us and lead us and protect us. So Lord, have Your way. If there's anyone here with your heads bowed for a moment that you want to receive Christ as your personal Savior today, I want to pray with you and believe with you, and I don't want to embarrass you in any way. I want you to find life today. But you need to have Jesus as Lord of your life. Maybe you've served Him, but maybe you fell down the chute and you're saying, I need to get back on my feet and I need to serve Him again. If there's anyone in here, balcony or main floor, if you just slip your hand up and right back down again. Is there anyone this morning? You want? Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Just slip your hand right up. Yes, sir. Anyone else? I want to pray with you because I want you to find this life. Amen. I want everybody to pray with me this morning for these two who have raised their hand. And let's pray it with all the strength we've got because we're going to love God first and we're going to put Him first. Amen. Heavenly Father, would you say that? Heavenly Father, I love You.
Love You.
I thank you for sending Jesus.
For sending Jesus.
Your son. To die on a cross for me.
I receive
by faith what You accomplished for me.
Forgiveness.
I receive it in Jesus' name.
And I believe
that You're coming again. And I desire to live for You. Each day. Amen. I celebrate with the two. Listen, we want to help you grow. We have a foundations class. Amen. find somebody, tell them, hey, I just made it sure again because I want to live for God. Church, let's do it. Let's find life. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. I want you to have a Jesus-filled week. God bless you.